All right. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. No, but really, we always need people. We need them in kids. You know, we need them in all kinds of different areas. We have information about that on the info table. And the Bible says that this is investment in eternity. Right? The Bible says that God is not unfaithful to forget your work and labor of love. The Bible says everything you do, do it heartily. From your heart as unto the Lord, because you know that it is from the Lord that you will receive a reward. Our Lord is a rewarder. This is not some kind of weird capitalist system that the world invented. God is into rewards. We do something that pleases Him, and we do something that is, you know, right in His plan. He rewards us for it. He doesn't have to, but He does. Because He loves us, and we love Him, and He just loves to bless His kids, right? So there is something like a reward, and the Lord promises eternal rewards for people that get involved in building the church. So thank you to everybody that is really working hard every Sunday, because every time I say this, it sounds like we don't have people. Oh, we have people, great people, a lot of people. It's just that we need more. So I just want to encourage you, you know, get there, get involved, and pray where you can help, could help, should help, because this is what we're going to talk about today. This is part two of our series about work. The last time, you know, when I announced our title, you know, I just said, well, you know, I announced, you know, well, today I'm going to talk about work. Close the doors, you know, lock the doors. Don't let anybody leave. I don't have to say that today because the doors are already locked. Just kidding. No, but you know, it is a subject where you just think, like, really? Do we have to talk about this? Because I don't know if you noticed, Alex, today is Sunday. And I really don't want to hear about this. Well, I believe that, you know, if you were here last time or if you listened to the podcast, I believe it blessed you. I believe you could see a little bit more why God has put work in our lives, and you will see even more today. And I pray that it changes your attitude towards it. And when your attitude is changed, that's the moment when you can actually add faith to it. And that's the moment, you know, faith is the victory. You know, that's when you actually start to overcome in your workplace. When we stop murmuring, when we actually start to say, well, thank you, Lord, that I can do something. And that I have something to do. I have something that somehow I can earn money. You know, so it's a good thing. Amen? Amen. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we'll start in verse 11. It says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgment, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents, scorpions, thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And you know, we were looking at the last verse where it says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. And I said it's always interesting, especially in charismatic churches, when you hear somebody speak about prosperity and about biblical prosperity and what the Bible says about finances and God's plan for our money, because that's what we're talking about basically right now. When we talk about this, you hear this verse quoted. Well, praise the Lord, it is God who gives us the power to get wealth. Hallelujah. And it always sounds like, and some of them flat out say it, that there is some kind of supernatural grace, some kind of all-powerful anointing that is present in our lives that just automatically attracts wealth. It just leads to money fall from heaven and people coming to you shoving money in your pocket. And, you know, it sounds like it, and, you know, that sounds great, And I wish that be the case, but if we really look at the context here, we see that he is talking about work. He is talking about them coming into the land he prepared, into the land that he led them to, but they were working in that land. They had to sow, they had to reap, they had to feed the flock, they had to kill the flock. Not everything, right? They needed to have some otherwise. But they had to do something. And God says, you know, when you do that, don't forget that I gave you the power to get wealth. I gave you the power. When all this multiplies, don't look at it and say, look at how great I am. Now, it was God who gave you the creativity, who gave you the brain, who gave you the hands, who gave you the feet, who gave you the opportunity to do it. And he blessed it. He supernaturally blessed it. He said, everything multiplies. This is wonderful. You know, it's wonderful to have the blessing of the Lord in our lives where things multiply, where he prepares things, where he leads us into opportunities, where we can actually prosper. Praise the Lord. But it doesn't mean that we just sit back and wait for the money to come. Right? You can confess all you want that money cometh to you now. If you don't get off your butt and do what God tells us to do, it's not going to happen. It's not going to come. It's a great confession. You should keep it, but you should also do something. Sorry about that, but it's true, so not sorry about that. So, you know, this is what we looked at. We looked at that this is about work, and we said, and we looked in the Word, we saw in the Word that God created us to work. That was our first point. We said God created work, and God created us to work. It's not something that happened in the fall of man that everybody was just sunbathing all day, you know, both of them beautiful, you know, like wonderful bodies, naked, next to each other, sunbathing, paradise, everything was wonderful, and then the serpent came. And from that moment on, God said, okay, vacation's over, now you got to work. It was never the case. Sometimes we think that, but it wasn't. The first thing that God gave Adam, even before he gave him Eve, was a task, something to do. He said, here's a garden. Keep it, tend it, grow things, do something. So we see that work was something that God created. Work is good. Work in itself is not bad. The fall of man, when sin came into the world, it did something to our work. We know that it had an effect on this creation, had an effect on the ground. We know suddenly it was much harder to do what he was supposed to do in the first place. But work wasn't the curse. Harder was the curse. Work was not the curse. Work was God. Work was creation. And we read it, you know, it only makes sense because God is a working God. And if we're created in his image, if we're created according to his likeness, well, then we are working people. We need a task. We need something. This is why I always think when I tell people, ooh, praise the Lord, I mean, we can build the church, and this is of eternal value, and we can tell people about Jesus, and we can learn about God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? I always think that's enough motivation. Because suddenly I find the reason why I was created. I love it. Nothing more powerful than to be part of what you've actually been created for. You know, so I always think that's enough motivation. I guess it's not. I guess I have to resort to all kinds of sales techniques to get people to actually join and help and do something. Because I believe you can do something, and you might think you cannot, but we'll find a way. We'll find a way to get you to the point where you can say, I'm building the church. Which is a good thing to say. Anywho, so that was point number one. Point number two in the 1.5 hours I have left. Point number two is our job is part of God's plan to prosper us. When we talk about prosperity, and I believe this has been grossly neglected in the body of Christ, when we talk about prosperity and when we talk about God's plan for us, because he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be blessed, and the Bible says he wants us to be rich. What does rich mean? Rich means that you are abundantly, you have an abundant supply. It means you have more than you need so you can give to other people, into other works. You can sow seed into the kingdom of God. This is what rich means. Everything you need plus more to give and for you to enjoy. That's what the Bible definition is of rich. And this is what he wants. But our job is part of that. And we sometimes see our job as a necessary evil, and it's not a necessary evil. It is something that God will use so you don't sit out there on the street without anything to eat. It is part of God's plan. It's not, well, I guess this is what this world is like. No, it's good. It's part of God's plan. And as I said last time, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the boss that is mean to you is God's plan, and I'm not saying that your coworkers that are mobbing you are God's plan. Maybe the place where you're at right now is not even the place God wants you to be. Maybe he wants to lead you into some other work he has prepared for you. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying work in general and a job, a daily job, a regular job, a regular task that helps you to earn money is part of God's plan to prosper us. It is. And we should lift our hands and thank God that we have one. Because only then will we do it cheerfully and joyfully, and only then will we do it in faith, and only then will we have victory, and only then will we overcome. It won't help us to just be grumpy when we're at the job, because it just gets worse from there. All right, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 13, because I can talk a long time and it doesn't mean anything unless God says so in his word. Proverbs chapter 13, and the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Very, very wise things. We see wisdom speaking here over and over, and Proverbs chapter 13 starts with the word, a wise son heeds his father's instructions, right? It talks about a wise lifestyle. It talks about wisdom. Wisdom for our lives. And it's interesting because it also says, with wisdom there are riches. And those who follow wisdom will inherit riches. And wisdom will fill their treasuries. That's Proverbs 8. Pretty cool. But here in Proverbs 13, in Proverbs 13:4, it says, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. The soul of the lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Now there are certain things that we desire. And it's very interesting that God doesn't really say here, oh yeah, the soul of the lazy man desires, but who do you think you are? It's just hard work down here. It doesn't say that. It just says, no, okay, you have desires. There are ways to get there. If there is something that you'd like to have, maybe there is a way to get there. And the way to get it is not to just sit back and be lazy. It says it's with the diligent. With the diligent, the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Isn't there a translation that says the soul of the diligent shall be made fat? Now you know. Oh, wow. There it went. Can you feel that? This is amazing. I should really stuff that. It's like I make a joke and people go like, oops. All right. So I thought it was funny. Anyway. So diligence and diligent work will enrich our lives, and laziness will lead to nothing. That is what the Bible says. This is why it's important when we have kids to teach them to work. If you want to represent God in their lives, you make them work. I'm not saying that you send them into the coal mines. I'm just saying that there is something they should do and they need to do. And you're not teaching them something ungodly. You're not, oh man, this is the harsh reality of life and I just don't want them to learn that yet. No, that's not the point. The point is that it is life. And God created it to be part of life. And if we don't teach kids to work, we don't teach them to live. We don't teach them life. If we want to teach them life, we need to teach them to work and to do it happily and joyfully with a I can do this attitude. With an I can do it, and it will probably be much faster than I think right now it's going to be, and afterwards I'll be really happy, and then I can sit down and watch my movies. This is what will teach kids life. Diligent work will enrich our lives. It will make us rich, and that is a promise from God. Working attitude, a good attitude towards work, will produce riches in our lives. And I believe, according to the Bible, it will profit us, of course, because, you know, at the end of the month, we'll get some money because of it. But I also believe that God is going to bless that kind of attitude, right? It talks about the soul of the lazy. It talks about the soul of the, it talks about a certain attitude you have. Not just about something that you do. It talks about the attitude you have when you do it. Because how many of you know that people can be very diligent but don't have a diligent attitude? If you work and you're complaining all the time about your work, according to the Bible, you're not diligent. You don't actually have a good working attitude. Well, but I do it. It's like, yeah, but remember, God says, I will not forget your work and labor of love. That's why the Bible says, do everything without murmuring. Do it as unto the Lord. Because if you murmur, there is no joy. If there is no joy, there is no faith. If there is no faith, there is no victory. And if there is no victory, there is no conquering. You're not doing this. And I still believe that if there is a little bit of work and we collapse and we don't know if we can take it and we don't know if we can do it, what do you do when there's a mountain in your way? I mean, there is a reason why God has put this in our lives, and it will help us, this attitude, diligent attitude, a good, positive attitude toward work. It will help us, and it will make work much funner and quicker and faster. It's a good thing. All right. Since we're in Proverbs 13, let's go to Proverbs 14. It's going to get worse, by the way. I just saw the next scripture that we're going to go to. But, it, you know, remember, it's the truth, and the truth will set us free. All right. Proverbs 14 and verse 23. It says, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. In all labor, there is profit. I believe that there is profit in all labor. When I started at Rhema, there were so many things that I tried out and so many things that I prepared and so many things that I was working on to present to Pastor John. And maybe half of it, in the end, was actually done or used. You know, I started with a little bit of designing, and I spent nights designing all kinds of things, and then he would use half of it. And I didn't mind at all, because I didn't do it for him. Amen. Of course I did, but I didn't. You know what I mean? I did it as unto the Lord. And I knew he saw it. And just because then it says, okay, you know, half of this we could use, that doesn't matter that the other half was wasted. I learned. I now know better what he likes and what he doesn't like. And the Lord saw it. And I did it for him anyways. So I have no problem with that. And I thought nobody has. Until I noticed, you know, that a lot of times we were like, well, that work was wasted. And I'm thinking, work is never wasted. In my mind, it's not. I know you can go overboard with it, but if it actually happens that you did something that you didn't have to do, I mean, you just have the choice. You can just go like, well, praise the Lord, I learned something and the Lord saw it and I'm just so happy that my reward's coming from him anyway. Or you can just be totally ticked and totally mad at somebody that didn't communicate right or that didn't, you know, give you the right parameters so that you understood them wrong or, you know, whatever. You have the choice. I know what I want to do. I just want to be happy that I did something for Jesus, and he is happy that I did something for him, and now everybody's happy. I don't like the alternative. I like happy. I don't know if you noticed, I like happy. And every time I'm not happy, I'm just as quickly as I can. You know, this is my rule of thumb. It's like if I'm not happy, if I'm sad, I just stop being sad and I'm happy. That's my life motto, right? You know this, right? You're awesome, and if you're not awesome, then be awesome. That's the way my life works. I don't know about you. Work so far. Don't burst my bubble. I'm good. So there's profit in our labor, the Bible says, and just talking won't lead to anything. You know, this is especially true for pastors, and I can tell because I'm one. You know, every pastor has written at least 3 or 5 books in their head already. And they just keep dropping it over. Well, you know, one day I'm going to write a book on it, and you know, most of them don't. I cannot tell you how many books I've started. I have some introductions to some really great books. But after your introduction, after you wrote why you think it's so important and your intention of why you really think that the body of Christ needs this kind of study, you actually need to study. That's when the word starts. You know, so just talking about stuff, you know, it just doesn't do anything. So in my mind, I have all this great material already out there. You know, I have all the royalties coming in. Man, I'm rich. The thing is, I just didn't do anything about it yet. I will, you know, one day I'm going to write a book, you know. Now, I have written something, but it obviously wasn't any good. But just talking about stuff, it doesn't help. You actually have to do something. And what this verse actually means, when we take this verse, when we look at it, when we meditate on it, there are all these things in our head where we say, you know what, I should be doing that. Or you know what, they mentioned this in church, I think I should be that. And it's always one day, it's always at some point, it's always, you know, and you're talking about it and you're saying it, but there's just nothing like actually doing it. This is the gospel according to Nike. Just do it. You know, there is something to be said for that. And if you actually do it and you find out that there is a real problem with your schedule or there is that we can always talk about it. You're not signing away your life. That already happened when you believed in Jesus. We're just finding ways how to be productive, you know, how to help in the church. But when it comes to your work, this attitude of not just talking about it, but the let's do it attitude, the I can do this, and I will do it cheerfully, and I'll do it happily, it will help you. It will help you to be in faith, and if you're in faith, it means you're stable, you're not back and forth, you're not like, oh, you know, I don't really want to be here. And you're like, well, Lord, thank you so much. This might not be what I would have wanted, but you're with me, you've given me the ability, you'll give me the creativity, I will be good at this, everything my hand touches will prosper, and at the end, I will have learned afterwards, I know now what to do, I know what not to do, I'll be better because of it. This is amazing, this is a win-win-win situation, I can't lose. But you only have this kind of attitude when it comes to your work, when this is your perspective. So this is why it's so important that it sets us free. All right, so the last scripture for today, and then we'll see how I'll get the positive spin back after this one. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll just look at it a little bit, and we'll pick up next Sunday. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you don't know where 2 Thessalonians is, it's right after 1 Thessalonians. You're welcome. The Bible is a very logical book. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. It says, "For even when we were with you," this is Paul speaking to them, "even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." So Paul acknowledges, Paul says, hey, you know, I know work can be hard sometimes. He said, I know it. You can be weary of it. I understand. He said, but, and he gives us this blank statement, this one phrase that shows us how God actually set up the world, and it is, if you don't work, you don't eat. Which goes pretty much against everything you hear in Christianity today, because it sounds like just because you breathe, you're so awesome and you deserve something. And actually, the Bible does not say that. And it's not just, well, Alex, you're just making a bigger deal out of it than it actually is. Well, Paul says, when I was with you, we commanded you this. And then it says in verse 12, now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work and eat their own bread. There is a commandment through our Lord Jesus Christ to work and earn bread. And I don't want to make this bigger than it is, but it is pretty fundamental. It is pretty profound that this is the way it's supposed to work. You don't work, you don't eat. And, you know, we have an election coming up next week. And I tell you, millions of even Christians, they will go out and they will cast their vote based on who they think more money should be taken from to give it to people that don't want to work. I know there are people who cannot work. I'm talking about those who don't want to work. Because we have those, and we have a lot of them. Too many things in my head now that will really get me into... Somebody told me, okay, I'm going to say it. I'm sorry, you know. Every once in a while, it's okay to say something controversial, right? Do you still love me? Yeah. If I say something, right? Okay, thank you. Somebody told me once, well, you know, I think it's so important that we, that, you know, our system is great the way it is. We don't want any ghettos in Germany. And I said, why? Why aren't there any ghettos in Germany? Because there are people that do not want to work. There are people that get up in the morning and they're not doing anything all day. Why don't we have a place where these people can go and just see how that works? Why don't we have that? Well, the reason is because we give them something to eat. And that is not biblical. It is not biblical. We have to give, and if they need help, well, let's help them and give them work at the same time. And every time politicians introduce that kind of thinking, there is a huge outrage in Germany. How can you demand from people to do something, even if it's just a little bit, when you give them 1,000 euros every month? And right now, the new big thing, it is probably going to come, oh God help us, is actually the basic income. It's like you don't do anything. Just because you breathe from birth, you get money. That's the new thing, and it's probably going to come. And they have all kinds of reasonings why it should come. And I understand on a philosophical level why people think this might work. God says it's not going to work. It will rob people of their dignity. It will rob people of their creativity and their God-given talents, which God has created to put them to use so that they can actually have something to eat. So when I say these kind of things, it doesn't mean that I hate people or that I don't love them. No, it means I love them. I want them to be so dignified that when they have their kids at the table and they eat something, that daddy or mommy can say, I provided this for you, and let's all thank God that he gave us the power to get this. I don't want them to raise them like, oh, well, you know what, we are nothing, we don't have anything, this is not something God wants. This was never God's plan. This is not our identity. Work is good. Work is wonderful. It is something that God has created to give us dignity so we can have something to eat, have something that we work with our own hands. It just gives us a satisfaction. And if you don't believe that, how do you feel when you see that number at the beginning of the month on your bank account? It feels good, doesn't it? Like you're the richest man in the world. Like the money hit your account and like, man, which Rolls Royce am I going to buy? And then 3 weeks later, like, well, I think I've bought too many Rolls Royces. But it's true. Gives you satisfaction, gives you a good feeling. It's wonderful. It's nothing bad. It's godly. It's divine. And we should teach people that that is exactly what it is. It's life. And it's good. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, then let's just do that. Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank God that he has given us work. And remember that you are not alone in your work, because he wants to bless it. And he wants to multiply your earnings. He wants to multiply your ability. He wants to give you more opportunities. He is with you. I mean, he wants to work supernaturally through you in your workplace. But he cannot do that when you're sitting there like, rrr. It's only when you go there and you're happy and you're in faith and you're joyful and you say, Father, there is something you want me to do today, somebody you want me to bless today, and I thank you that in the process I'll get blessed too. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So let's add our faith to it when tomorrow morning comes. And let's be joyful and cheerful because he is good. And his mercy endures forever. Amen? Yeah. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Amen. All right, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we have an invitation for you. Because maybe you've asked yourself, okay, why do you think it's possible to get up every morning, go to work, be happy, feel blessed? You don't know my boss, you don't know my job, you don't know my coworkers. You know, you're right, I don't know them, and from the sounds of it, that's a good thing. But, you know, the reason why we believe that no matter what comes against us and no matter the circumstances, we can be happy and blessed and joyful and in faith is because we have Jesus in our lives. We are not alone. It's not just us. We know that in ourselves we cannot do that because the Bible says that in ourselves we can do nothing. But the Bible also says that in Christ we can do all things. Through him in our lives we can do all things. And most of us in here, we have received Jesus at one point in our life. And the reason why that is so important is the Bible says that sin has made a separation between us and God. Because as good as God is, he is three times more holy. He is holy, holy, holy. And he cannot have fellowship with sin. And the Bible says this whole world has fallen under the curse of sin. It has fallen into darkness, and it cannot have fellowship with God. Now God, because he is good, didn't like that. So he himself, in his son Jesus Christ, came to earth to save us from sin. And the only way to do it was that he died, that he would die in our place on the cross. He would take our sins on himself, die in our place, so that we don't have to do it anymore. And he says, now all you need to do is put your faith and trust in what I have done for you. And then I will give you a new life. A life with me. A life in fellowship with God. A life free of sin. A life full of joy. A life full of power. This is the way to do it. Is it that easy? Yes, it is. It is like a gift that you receive. So in a moment, we will close the service. We'll have some people up here. And if that's you, if you say, well, but I believe that. I want to have that in my life. I want to make sure that I know my sins are forgiven and that I have new life with God. If you want to do that, you know, please come forward. Our team would love to talk to you, minister to you. If you have a little more question, you know, we have a little corner over there if you need some more privacy. But make sure that you don't leave this room without knowing that your sins are forgiven. Because if you really look at your life, you know. You know. There are things in your life that God is not pleased with, that God does not like, and that are separating you from him. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. This is why Jesus came. So we would love for you to meet Jesus today. If you already are a Christian, then the Bible says there is another gift he has for us, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit that comes in our life, that gives us power to be witnesses for Jesus. And if that is you, if you've never received that, then come forward. Our team would love to minister to you as well. And as always, if you have a prayer request, if there is something you would like to have prayer for, healing, maybe your workplace, maybe your situation in your workplace, maybe your soul life when it comes to getting up tomorrow morning, you know, whatever there is, our team would love to help you. So just make sure you come up and be blessed. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, we need to close because our kids' workers, they're already like, why don't they stop? Well, the reason why is because it's important that we tell you about Jesus and about all the wonderful things that he does for us, the wonderful things he wants to give us, and that God answers prayer. He still does. Amen? Yes. Amen. Be blessed. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? Whatever you do next week, do it without murmuring. Do it in faith. Do it in joy, because you are more than an overcomer through him that loved you. Amen? Amen. God bless you, and then we'll see you next week.